The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
Statements by Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States of America, May 5th, 2021. What Facebook, Twitter, and Google have done is a total disgrace and an embarrassment to our country. Free speech has been taken away from the President of the United States because the radical left lunatics are afraid of the truth. But the truth will come out anyway. Bigger and stronger than ever before. The people of our country will not stand for it. These corrupt social media companies must pay a political price and must never again be allowed to destroy and decimate our electoral process. This is the president's response to Facebook extending his suspension on their platforms, including Instagram. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump. This is America First. If you haven't been listening for the last hour, what's your excuse, man? Woman. Thing. Whatever you are. Because we opened the show with an unbelievable story from the book I have been reading avidly since I was traveling last week. It's The Lost Son, A Life in Pursuit of Justice by the 40th Police Commissioner of New York, Bernie Kerik. And it's an early story from his experience as the commissioner, meeting a woman called Helen Varecha, and the story of her son, Patrolman John Varecha. And he's with us right now, a good friend of the show. Commissioner Kerik, why did you include that story, and why was it important for that patrolman, that 25-year-old patrolman's uniform, to be presented in a place of honor in the police museum in New York?
Thanks for having me, Sebastian. So here's the deal. I mean, you know, what happened was the woman, Ms. Varecha, she was in the police museum one afternoon at a ceremony, and one of the chiefs saw her standing in front of a wall of shields, and she was crying. And the chief went over to her, and he asked, you know, what's the matter? And she said, my son was shot and killed many years ago, and I was always promised his shield, and I never got it. And the chief told me this. So I had her summoned, I had her come down to my office, and I was going to present her with the shield, the actual badge of her son, who had died, was shot and killed. And she brought with her, she said, I have something for you. And she walked into the room with his uniform. As it was left in her closet for, you know, years, many, many years before, and in the pocket of the uniform was his actual PBA union card.
Wow.
And she gave me that uniform. And as you can, as I think you got from the book, and I think there's a photo in the book of the actual, my conversation with her, I had,
yes,
I had six guys in my office, my chief of staff, the chief of department, the first deputy commissioner. And everybody was crying. I mean, the whole, you know, everybody was in tears. So it was a moving meeting. And, you know, it just goes to show the sacrifices that families go through when you have somebody that's in law enforcement, a cop or a, you know, a police officer, a state trooper. That's what can happen, and this woman suffered the consequence.
It's an incredible book, just the commissioner's early life story, his family, his experience in Korea as a military police officer. I hate autobiographies. I don't have the time usually. This one is gripping, gripping, gripping. Please check it out, The Lost Son, A Life in Pursuit of Justice. And let me ask a really tough question. I believe, but I'm an immigrant, so I wasn't born here, so maybe I'm totally off base. I believe most Americans would like to show that level of respect and honor to all police in all jurisdictions. I think what we've witnessed in the last year is just an incredibly loud and radical minority of a minority. Am I looking at things through rose-tinted spectacles, or do we have a bigger problem?
No, I think you are. I think you got it right. That's what I think. I think... The majority of Americans, I think, honestly, I think they love the country. I think they believe in law and order.
Commissioner? Oh, sorry, we lost you there for a second. You think the majority believe in law and order?
Yeah, I think the majority believe in law and order. They believe in this country. But we have a very loud, you know, we have these anarchists and these radicals out there today that happen to scream louder than ever, and they have one thing that the conservatives or just loving Americans don't have, and that's the press and media.
Yep.
The mainstream media is basically helping this verbal abuse and these verbal attacks and these radical attacks on America. You know, there was a car stop. There was a cop that stopped a woman in a car just the other day, and it went viral on the internet. And the minute the cop walked up to the car, the woman called him a murderer.
Yeah. And he's Hispanic. She called him a Hispanic murderer who will never be white. We're going to play the video later. Incredible.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you should play the audio for your audience and let them listen to this. It's 3 or 4 minutes. It is the best 3 or 4 minutes you can listen to, because this explains the mindset of these radical left lunatics and what they believe and how they think they can get away with that kind of stuff. And you don't hear anybody from the mainstream media complaining. You don't hear anybody calling for that woman's resignation. Nobody.
No.
Nobody.
No. We will. We have it on the cut sheet. We will play it later. But we have to talk about the events of last week. We had Mayor Giuliani on the show yesterday as former police commissioner, as a person who served warrants. You were an undercover, worked in narcotics for years. Your reaction to the fact that federal agents went to the door, the home of Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor, at 6 a.m. to serve a warrant on a FARA Act allegation.
This was a PR stunt. And I mean, I don't know what else to call it. It was a PR stunt. That's what it was. This was done strictly for public relations, so this could go out to the general public and go viral, and everybody would lose their minds. There was no reason for it, especially now. Especially we know now that they had a Title III intercept on his iCloud back in November of 2019. If that's the case, and they took information or they looked at information on his iPads and his phones and his computers back in November of 2019, when he was representing the president, for God's sake, if they did that, then what was the purpose of serving a search warrant now? All they had to do was call them up and say, look, we want to subpoena the following devices, the following documents, the following information. That's all they had to do.
Right.
They know what's on there. They already knew what was on there. So the bottom line is the serving of a search warrant where you have 7 federal agents banging on your door at 6 o'clock in the morning, for what?
But is this meant to intimidate Rudy? Because Rudy, as far as I'm concerned, like you as well, you are unintimidatable. There's nothing that can be done to intimidate you. Or is this meant to just chill all conservatives? What's the real so what of that Warren, Commissioner?
I don't think it's not an attempt to intimidate him. He's not going to be intimidated.
Right.
But it is an attempt to intimidate others. It's an attempt to make conservatives and people with voices, real voices, shut up, stand down, you know, don't say a word, because if you do, this is what's going to happen to you. We have, the Democrats have completely weaponized the Department of Justice. We saw it, you know, what they did to President Trump. Well, now they've just verified that they're going to do it to anybody they please, including the former United States attorney, the former associate attorney general of the United States, the former mayor of New York City. And they're going to do that while he was actually acting as the personal attorney for the president of the United States. So,
well,
it's kind of absurd.
We need to stand behind him, whatever we can do to support America's mayor and you. We're very excited. Together we are on the new Election Integrity Alliance with Commissioner Carrick. We're going to be discussing it with the president's former attorney, Jenna Ellis, later on this show. In the meantime, guys, I really mean it. The Lost Son by Commissioner Bernie Carrick. Get it now. God bless you, sir. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, stay on this channel. Relief Factor. Incredible, incredible product. Just listen to Leah from Ohio. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain, I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief only to get better and better. I am a believer 100%. That could be you. I think it should be you. I think you deserve to find out. Order the 3-week quick starter pack right now by calling 800-500-8384. The only thing you have to lose is the pain. You know it makes sense. 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
You will be deleted. You will be deleted.
Little pop culture reference there. That's the Cybermen from Doctor Who. It's also a good title for a book about social media fascists. It's called Deleted, and it's by our current guest. He is, of course, the big tech expert at Breitbart.com. He goes under the nom de plume, or is it a nom de guerre? Libertarian Blue on Twitter, Alan Bukhari. Welcome back to America First.
Hey, Seb, good to be back.
Now, there couldn't have been any other decision from the masters of the universe in Silicon Valley, could there? You know, Palo Alto, Facebook, Instagram. Of course they were going to extend the suspension of President Trump. You weren't surprised, were you?
Not at all. I think we were all suspecting this was going to happen, right? I mean, Facebook appointed this so-called oversight board that's supposed to be impartial and review the decisions of Facebook, but it was packed with anti-Trump figures from the beginning. So, you know, it was a foregone conclusion. And they didn't even have the courage to make a final ruling. They punted it back to Facebook, saying Facebook has to make a final decision within 6 months. So now we will have to wait 6 months for Facebook to decide if Trump's going to be permanently banned or not.
So here's the question of the day. Did these people just think they are utterly and completely untouchable, Alum?
I think they do, and that's a consequence of the fact that no one has imposed any real measure of regulation or outside oversight on them on the question of censorship. The Democrats love that Silicon Valley is censoring their political opponents. In fact, they want them to do more of it. So Silicon Valley knows they won't be punished for censorship, and they may, in fact, be rewarded by the Democrats.
So what is the, you are the expert. People have got to follow you, Libertarian Blue. They've got to get the book deleted. Check out your pieces on Breitbart. So what is the reasonable progression here? What is the scenario that's going to play out? Is it going to be continued censorship? We had our YouTube channel terminated. Somebody went in who had access to the private videos, said one of them contravened coverage of the election, and so we went to Rumble. It's fine. So we're going to see a steady trickle of conservatives off these platforms and the creation of new ones? Or is it just going to be an acquiescence? Look, they're the big guys. They're the Standard Oil of social media. And we're just, if we want to have content up there that's seen by millions, we're going to have to stay there. Is there any, let me put it another way, do market forces apply at all?
I think in the long term, yes. And absent any political solution, there is this new sort of flowering of alternative technology companies, from social networks to video hosting platforms. There's even an alternative smartphone in development to compete with Apple and Google. So you do see those alternatives propping up. I would say, you shouldn't self-censor yourself. You shouldn't leave the mainstream social platforms unless they kick you off, because, that's what they want. They want conservatives off social media. They don't want you talking to the general public. But it's good to have those alternatives as well. It's good to have a presence there, because when you get censored, as you did, Seb, then you always have that backup.
But at the end of the day, what happens to a platform that just excises conservatives? Is that a viable model from the point of view of making money, that at the end of the day, only left-wingers, milquetoasts, and people making stupid videos of themselves in a bar full of Cheerios are going to be the content providers on the big platforms? Is that, I don't want to help the bad guys, I don't want to help the censorious, fascistic, Silicon Valley overlords, but is that what they're condemning themselves to eventually?
Well, I'll tell you this. If there's a group of people who's, more evil and more pro-censorship than the tech giants, it's the mainstream journalists. Yeah. And what they do to these social networks like Facebook and YouTube, when they're not censoring fast enough or not censoring the people they want them to censor, they will whip up these huge advertiser boycotts that happened to YouTube, that happened to Facebook, encouraged by the media to push for more censorship. So the media has learned how to impose financial consequences on these companies to get what they want. And that's why I think regulation on the question of censorship, taking it out of their hands, actually does these tech companies and the public a favor, because the tech companies can say, well, look, we can't do anything about it. The law says we can't censor. Unfortunately, Republicans have not imposed any kind of laws, even at the state level. Some of these local bills I've been seeing, unfortunately, don't go as far as they could go in terms of stopping censorship. But that is a possibility.
But hang on a second. You post on Twitter under the name Libertarian Blue, Alum. Are you calling for bigger government intervention? Is that really where we want to go?
Yeah, my Twitter handle is the unfortunate relic of 2015, when libertarianism was cool, if you can believe that. But I can't change it now without losing my checkmark. And if I lose my checkmark, I'll get shadow banned.
So what are you now? If you could pick a name, what would your new name be on Twitter?
Oh, who knows? I'll probably just go with my actual name. It's hard to imitate. I don't think anyone else has got it.
Okay, good. So you are now in favor of some kind of baby bell dismantling or some hyper-regulation?
I think so. And you look at Clarence Thomas, he recently issued an opinion saying exactly that laws that have been on the books for a long time, like common carrier laws, that's been on the books since the 30s, I believe, or public accommodation laws to prevent discrimination. Those are things that Clarence Thomas said might be applied to social media companies. He even encouraged legislators to take action. Unfortunately, in both Texas and Florida, they haven't gone for the common carrier approach or the public accommodation approach, so those bills will not really stop the censorship of viewpoints. Another third way, which is interesting, is what California did to shopping malls in the 1980s. They had laws that were applied to shopping malls saying shopping malls had to allow political activism on their property. So this has been done before. The legal framework is there. Republicans just need the courage to do it.
That's fascinating. Have you written about that precedence with regards to shopping malls?
I have. Actually, I have a column coming out explaining the three routes, which I think are common carrier, public accommodation, and the CA shopping malls thing. That'll be out in the next couple of days. Another interesting bill to look at is Senator Bill Hagerty's, one of the new senators this who came in 2020. He's come out with an excellent bill that would regulate tech companies as common carriers. Obviously, it won't pass with the Democrats in charge of the Senate and Congress, but that could be a model for future regulation for Republicans.
We've only got just a minute left, so the state approach could be one of those avenues, but you're not satisfied with what Texas or Ron DeSantis is doing in Florida. What is missing from their approaches? Just give us one example, Alum.
Well, you can tell companies they can't ban certain types of people or politicians, but unless you also make them common carriers or places of public accommodation, enforcing that is going to be really difficult. The courts might just say these companies have First Amendment rights, and they do, unless they're common carriers, which are tightly restricted in who they can and cannot deny service to.
And the immunity they get under the legislation in the 1990s that said they're not publishers, how about doing away with that? Is that the way to go, potentially?
Well, that's what Senator Hagerty's bill does, and that's like a key thing you'll need to do if you want people to be able to sue these companies over wrongful censorship.
All right, there are options, there are answers. Listen to the man who eats, dreams, and sleeps this every single day, Alum Bakari. Breitbart.com is where you can read his pieces. The book is called Deleted, and you can follow him in his 2015. It was trendy then, but we'll forgive him. Libertarian Blue on Twitter. God bless. I'm Sebastian Gorka. What should we do next? We'll take some calls. The number, 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Streaming, maybe, on rumble.com. Rumble.com/SebGorka. Subscribe today and stay on this channel.
Most of the young people and some of the old people who are running these social media platforms are practically Bolsheviks. I mean, they're Wokeristas. Now, that's okay. This is America. You can believe what you want. But no one believes that these social media platforms will regulate or censor, let's say, Senator Bernie Sanders like they would former President Donald Trump or Majority Leader Kevin.
I think we have to, we just have to cross that Rubicon, don't we? They're not Democrats anymore. I think Senator Kennedy's right. They're Bolsheviks. In some case, they're Maoists. Why don't we just call them what they really believe? If you don't believe in the First Amendment, if you're a tech giant and you think a man who got 74 million votes, the most votes any incumbent president has ever received, yeah, more than Obama, sorry, Barack, and he can be censored, he can have his identity removed from Twitter, from Facebook, from Instagram, it's who they are. But let's entertain ourselves now with that woman who still hasn't provided the proof for how those homophobic bigots hacked her blog. Why? Because she is the homophobe, Joy Reid, now lecturing about race theory. Cut 9, play cut.
We've seen a growing movement to reframe how American history is taught in public schools. Well, some parents who are opposed to critical race theory as new curriculum aren't too pleased.
Just because I do not want critical race theory taught to my children in school does not mean that I'm a racist, damn it.
Actually, it does. It's just another example of Republicans turning kids into a wedge issue, just like their politically motivated attacks on transgender youth who just want to play sports.
Yeah, just want to play sports. I don't know what, Jeff, what's the worst part of that? Is it laughing at the mother, or is it saying that guys just want to crush women in high school sports?
It's laughing at the mother.
Yeah, it's laughing at the mother. I think you're right. Does anybody watch her show?
Probably not. That's got to be a lot lower than even the ones that are pretty low in that.
How does she get away with all those homophobic things on her blog?
Well, because she was hacked.
Yeah, right.
Is it she? What happened? Didn't she tell the FBI that she was?
Oh, she said no. She said to the world, "The FBI are investigating my blog."
Yeah, it must be like the dorm report because
it's the dorm. Now we know where. Thank you, Jeff. We spent the whole show yesterday wondering with our callers, with our listeners, where is John Durham? He's been reassigned. He's working on the hack, the homophobic hack of Joey Reid's blog, and that's why he can't do other stuff. And he'll be ready in, I don't know, 10 years. Let's go to your calls. 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Matt in North Carolina. Welcome back, Matt.
Hello, Dr. Gorka. Can I call you? Thank you for taking my call. Can I call you Commander of Conservative Radio, sir?
Oh, I like that. I've always liked the rank of Commander. I mean, James Bond was a Commander, so I'll take it. From you, Matt, I'll take it. The Commander of Conservative Talk Radio.
I like it.
No, well, you came up with it. You should like it. But I like
it, too.
I
do like it, too, sir.
I do. I do. I'll take it. I'll take it.
Off the top of my head, I want to compliment Ray, your caller a while ago.
Ray from Livermore.
Exemplary. He was exemplary, no?
He knows what he talks about. Former Airborne. Sure. Good guy.
And thank you for the book arrived today.
Good. Which book did we send you, Matt?
Thank you. I didn't open it yet. It's in the envelope right behind me.
He's too excited. He's too excited to open. He wants a little bit of a surprise this weekend. Open the book. Have a read. Chapter. I want you just to read the prologue, because every prologue to each of my books is very special. It's personal. It's about my family. And call us back when you've read the prologue. And if you want to find out, thank you, Matt. If you want to find out what Matt is going to find out imminently, well, you can. You can. All of our books, Defeating Jihad, Why We Fight, and The War for America's Soul, are all available at our website and also our gear store. If you want to fly the flag of your America First pride, check out all the books. You can get them signed by me, and then all the other gear. Go to SebGorkaStore.com. It's new. It's great. SebGorka, SebGorkaStore.com. And then you can order the books. You can check out all the incredible things we post, the articles as well at SebGorka.com. Never miss a thing, as well as the Rumble page. We don't need YouTube. Rumble.com/SebGorka. That's Rumble.com/SebGorka.
Making sense out of today's nonsense, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
A man who rests his head every night on one of Mike Lindell's My Pillows. Why? Because it makes me feel good and gives me a good night's sleep. Check them out now. 51 million sold the pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape. You can just chuck it in the washer. 10-year guarantee. He has a whole slew of other products, more than 100. And right now they are trying to boycott him in 25 different stores across the nation. Go straight to his website. Use my name for up to 66% off. It's incredible products. Not just the pillow, the Egyptian cotton Giza dream sheets, the mattress toppers, the pet beds, the body pillows, the pajamas, the incredible new lambskin slippers. Check them all out. Superb products. Call them 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. So what's the future of America? Are we going to be free? Are we not going to be free? There's somebody called Ron Klain, who is the chief of staff of Biden. I can't say president. I just can't do it. Just sleepy, creepy Beijing Biden. And I guess he's now an epidemiologist or some kind of super scientist. Like that guy, what's Nye? Nye the science guy? He's got a BA in engineering or something. Ron Klain on the future of America and the China virus, Cut 13.
Is herd immunity still the goal of the administration? Because as you know, Dr. Fauci, among others, have sort of backed away from using that term as a benchmark.
Yeah, I think that I'll let Dr. Fauci comment, obviously, on the science of that. What he's advised us is that It's probably a phrase that doesn't really apply here to this particular virus in this circumstance.
Why? Why? What is different? Is this like a magic virus? So the concept of herd immunity, which is when such a sizable proportion of the group, the community, has had the virus and has the antibodies or has been vaccinated to create the antibodies, that the virus dies out because it has nobody more to infect. That's what herd immunity is. Why does it not work with the coronavirus? I'm just curious. Does it have some kind of exemption card? Does it have a hall pass that gets it out of a herd immunity scenario? And by the way, what is it with what's-his-face, Anderson? I really do this. It's just so... When I see his visage, he looks like an old granny, doesn't he? Those glasses, dude, they don't... Get LASIK or contacts or something. You look like an old woman. Not good. You're on television. What's he meant to be hosting next? What are we talking about, Jeff? What's his big journalistic career move now?
Jeopardy.
He's going to host Jeopardy. Such an amazing journalist. I mean, that takes charge. I mean, I know it's hard for you. You could go Pulitzer or Jeopardy. And you went Jeopardy. We're so impressed with you. But more people watch Nick at Night cartoons than your TV show. It's just a fact. I'm sorry, Anderson. Okay. He mentioned it. Bernie Kerik, former commissioner of New York. And we're going to play it for you. Traffic stop filmed by a woman driving a white Mercedes who's a school teacher. Interesting. White Mercedes, school teacher. This is where we are today. Cut 14. Play cut.
Do you have that picture? You scared me and made me think you were going to murder me.
Okay, well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well, that's not just a feeling. You're a murderer.
Okay. Can you zoom in on that for me,
Sure. Jay?
Thank you.
And I'm perfectly legal, and I'm a teacher. So there.
Congratulations.
Murderer. You're a murderer.
What's your last name? I can't see that there.
Well,
if
here you
stop,
go,
stop
murderer.
Stop shaking. Zoom in on that for me,
No, because you're scaring me. You're threatening to kill me and my son. Can you give me
okay.
the
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. You keep smiling.
Yeah,
you're on camera.
You're trying to threaten to kill me.
I didn't say that.
You're the one who's crazy.
Hold that still. I can't see that. Is this your car?
Yes, it is. You're trying to say I stole my own car because you're jealous?
Yeah,
is that what
I don't
that's
think
about?
So. You wait for me right here, okay?
You're jealous.
Citation. All you need to do is your signature. He's only citing you for using your cell phone while you're driving. That's it.
There you go, ma'am. Sign inside the red box right there.
For him being a Mexican racist. What is that name? Gasco?
It's on the citation, ma'am.
Here you go, Mexican racist. You're always going to be a Mexican. You'll never be white. You know that, right? You'll never be white, which is what you really want to be.
There you go, dear. Have a good day.
You want to be
white. I'm done. I'm sorry. Somebody else has to talk. Jump in. I'm so furious. Shad, Eric, Jeff, take over.
The worst part. Oh, you want to take this, Shad?
I don't know. It's obvious to me. What's obvious to me here is that there's a certain genre of human being in my mind. Somebody who's so self-convinced, like, and so caught up in their own bull honky, right, that they're just going to sit there and be smug about something that is just so aggressively wrong. And so destructive that it's acidic. It's acidic.
Well, that's why I can't comment. She's driving a $70,000 Mercedes.
And she wants him to know that. She's using that as a point of superiority.
So you're jealous of my car, and that makes you a murderer.
And she's a teacher.
She's a teacher.
Yeah, she's a teacher.
Jump
it. All I have to say.
Okay, that's Jeff's comment. She's a teacher. Eric, help me out.
She's a teacher, A, meaning two things to expand on Jeff's comment. One, she's teaching our kids. And two, you know the unions are going to protect her, and she's never going to get fired for this.
What did she call that police officer? A Mexican what?
Mexican racist.
A Mexican racist who will never be white. And that is critical race theory, and that's the thing that Joy Reid thinks is cool. That a guy who is a Latino is called a racist because he's a cop. Because he's a cop. And he's a murderer. Why? Because he's a cop. PhD dissertation time, guys. We just got to unpack this. But first things first. What is Bull Honky? Is that
I'm just trying to be FCC compliant.
Okay, good. I'm going to have to add that to my list of words I'm permitted to use, according to the professor. So, you know, I've had this now three times, I think, in the last 2 weeks. And it's not good on radio, but I can you feel for me, guys? Please feel for me. Or I'm just kind of, okay, I'm not good to cut nothing. I got nothing. That's insanity. It's crazy. Makes me angry. And I just want you to hear it so you understand how important it is for you to push back and to support our brave law enforcement officers, because that's the craziness they have to deal with every day. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
Rude and slow, Snowflake. Your attack was no better than that of a clumsy child.
Or Fredo. You remember Fredo? Fredo got special treatment by the governor, his brother. Like, you know, vaccination and state troopers delivering tests and stuff like that. Doesn't end there. Cut five, play cut.
Fine with that. Donuts, beer, businesses. I think you and I, we call for a table. It's going to be mobbed where we live. Wait, we're both vaccinated. I think we should get a preference. I'm fine with it.
He's fine with getting a preference. It's not good enough that your brother's the governor and gives you special treatment. But you're vaccinated, so you're special. No, you're just a Fredo. Let's go to your calls. David Houston, line two. Welcome to America First.
Dr. G, and I was listening to that lunatic so-called teacher, and I watched that last night. Right before you cut into her, she says, I'm driving my son to school. And I'm thinking, okay, if she's a school teacher, shouldn't she be at the school? Is she just mouthing off? Not only in driving her Mercedes, but yeah, the whole thing didn't make sense.
No, and the really disturbing thing is we played the video here, and a lot of the footage is blurred. So her face, she doesn't have a driver's license for some reason. She's showing the officer a photograph on her phone. Photograph on her phone. So the images of their faces are being blurred out. But you can see that her son or somebody, a passenger, is in the vehicle, and she's doing this in front of him. So she's actually calling a police officer who stopped her. Why? Because she was on her phone when she was supposed to be driving a car, and calls him a murderer and a racist Hispanic.
Mexican rapist. Rapist, I think she said.
No, I think it was racist. Racist, because she repeats it.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, then she calls him a murderer.
Yeah, yeah. And he said this person is supposed to be teaching kids.
Uh-huh. Bingo.
I hope she gets fired.
She won't. But, David, you know that she won't. She won't. Hang on. The police officer who last week did that rather amusing little video making fun of LeBron James because he said, Mr. James, we're coming up on a stabbing. Both of the individuals are black. Should we intervene? Oh, no, we shouldn't. Oh, sorry, because of this. That video has led, that humorous satirical video has led to the officer's suspension, David.
I saw on the dreaded social media, however, that there was a page set up for him, and it's collected $450,000 so far to help him through his suspension.
Well, thank you for that. That's new to me. We're going to check it out in the break. Thank you for your call. I hope that's right. But really, why is that even necessary? Give the guy's job back. Let him do the job. Money? GoFundMe pages? That means we're in retreat. We don't want a Band-Aid. We want victory. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Next, the one and only Jennifer Horne.